You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome to Talkin' Sports. It's just you and me, and I'm B. Byron Avery, your host here on Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. You can always stream us online at ESPN977.com. Catch our podcast after the game. Get there by going to RedPeachSports.com. Download the Red Peach Media app. Lots of ways to listen to the show, but welcome today. We're running a little behind. West Monroe baseball went to extra innings. The Rebels end up falling 5-3 at Barb. But they do start the 2016 campaign 2-1. So good job over the weekend to the West Monroe Rebels. Let's get into it. We've got Cody Futrell from the New Star coming up to talk about high school basketball and high school baseball. First, I want to run down a couple of things here. Talking Sports, brought to you by Anytime Fitness, Monroe, West Monroe, Calhoun, Ruston, and Texarkana. Thanks to those good folks. This first hour brought to you by Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance, and Ruston and Minden. Thank those good folks. Remember, you can always call us on the DBAT hotline, 888-993-7762, or reach out on the Pulpwood Producers text line, same number, 888-993-7762. You can follow us on Twitter, at TSports977FM, or send us an email to the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, TSports977FM@gmail.com. Real quickly, Jeff Driscoll, the quarterback this year for the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs, had hinted that he was going to surprise some NFL teams with his speed. Well, Driscoll posted the fastest 40-yard dash speed yesterday at a 4.56, and his Tech teammate, running back Supreme, ran a 4.58. And Tabor, you're going to have to help me because at my age, things leave me, and all of a sudden the running back's name left me.
Dixon.
Kenneth Dixon. Kenneth Dixon ran a 4.58, and his quarterback ran a 4.56. Driscoll became the 18th quarterback since 2006 to run a sub-4.6. Russell Wilson was a 4.55, and Driscoll was a 4.56. The guy's pretty much a beast. He's an athlete. He's 6'4". So a lot of promise for Jeff Driscoll. A lot of him are looking at like another Kirk Cousins type, you know, middle round guy who can come in and after a couple years take over maybe and do really well. Just wanted to throw that. Congrats to Jeff Driscoll. Also wanted to throw a little humor at you. You know, the Donald is running for president, and he likes to pump himself up. So he's talked about his athletic prowess. He was actually a pretty good athlete. He went to New York Military Academy in the early 1960s, played baseball, football, and soccer, and was a pretty good baseball player. Scouts from the Phillies came to look at him. Reports say the Red Sox were interested in offering him a contract out of high school. You know, but who knows? Trump himself said he played catcher and first base, but a former classmate says that he was the catcher and that Trump was an ace pitcher. Trump said of Rubio, you know, once a choker, always a choker, but Rubio may have actually been a better athlete than Trump. Rubio was a defensive back, at South Miami Senior High School, good enough to play. He played one season, 1989, at little bitty Tarkeo College, an NAIA school in Missouri. He played in one season. They went 4-5-1. Then he went on to the University of Florida, where he married a former, after which he married a former Miami Dolphins cheerleader. So we know he can play above his head, and we know he can score. So good for him. Ted Cruz was a member of the varsity football, basketball, and soccer teams. That's about all we know. John Kasich wasn't much of an athlete. So, you know, it says in his own book that he asked his dad to get him on a little league team. His father said, you got to earn it, and he didn't. So, you know, he has a history of asking others for help and not being willing to put in the work. Ben Carson, I wouldn't, you know, he didn't play sports, didn't have any interest in it with that brain. Why would he? Bernie Sanders, captain of the track and field team at Brooklyn's James Madison High. I've heard it said many times, the only thing worse than track is field. Hillary Clinton didn't play sports, but she says one of her childhood dreams was becoming a pro baseball player. So unrealistic expectations from Hillary Clinton from the beginning. We're going to go now to Cody Futrell of the New Star. We're going to talk a little high school basketball first. Cody, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, sorry for the delay there, Bud, but we're going to go through some scores here. So in girls basketball, first, Bastrop. Bastrop lost to Edna Carr 59-52 in overtime. You told
right,
me
yeah, that was a game that Bastrop was up by 8 points going into the fourth quarter and had a great season. Only lost two games, and that was only their second loss the entire year for the District 2 4A champions. And, you know, just a good run. That's a really, really tough place to play, Edna Carr, and a really good team as well.
And number 24, Madison, who had a good run. They ended up losing to number one Iota 70-48.
Yeah, you know, Madison was probably the surprise team locally, a 24th seed that kind of flew under the radar a little bit in a good district with Wasserman and Richwood, the two top teams in that 2-3A district. They got into the playoffs. They knocked off the number nine and the eight seeds back-to-back, but then had to travel to Iota, the number one seed, and weren't able to pull that off. But the Lady Jaguars had a heck of a run and should be very proud of their season.
Absolutely. And in 2A, Jonesboro Hodge lost to Madison Prep, 88-52.
Yeah, that was a good run for them as well. Madison Prep, an up-and-coming program, a school that hasn't been around that long, a prep school in the Baton Rouge area, has produced some really, really good basketball players throughout the year. The Martin kid, the guys on the guys' side that just played at LSU, graduated last year, or went to the NBA last year. He was from Madison Prep. That's a really, really strong basketball program.
And then in 1A, number one seed Arcadia beat number eight Southern Lab, and they'll play number four Montgomery March the 3rd in the semifinals.
You know, I think that game really showed, if there was anybody that was doubting how good Arcadia is or, you know, exactly what they had to bring to the table, I think that was the game that certainly put me on alert, and I think it should everybody else too, because of the history and the tradition that a program like Southern Lab has. I felt like that was going to be a much closer game than it was, but Lady Horn is just playing dominating basketball right now as they head to Lake Charles for the state tournament.
All right, so Arcadia still in it. That's one area team that we still have in the girls' side of the bracket. And then number 24, Homer, lost at number four, Montgomery. That's the team that will face Arcadia, but Montgomery winning that game 42-34.
Yeah, it should be a good matchup there. But Arcadia, you know, they're playing lights out. I think they're probably playing as good a basketball as anybody in the area right now, and that's going to carry them far at the state tournament, which will start coming up this week at the Burton Coliseum in Lake Charles.
And then number 10 Delhi loses to number two North Central 70-54. In Class C, number one Summerfield still around. They beat number nine Dodson 65-32.
You know, that's a Summerfield team, another good team in the area that's kind of fallen under the radar. Don't get, you know, kind of a little bit outside of the, you know, a lot of people's radar being up there above Ruston there in Lincoln Parish. They a team that really has, you know, had a strong year. They were able to earn that number one seed, which gave them a bye in the first round. So they only had to win one game to get to the state tournament, or two games, I should say. And they've done that really with ease, and looking forward to see how their run is going to play out there in Lake Charles.
So Summerfield will face number four Plainview March 1st in the semis. Plainview beating number five Epps 66-57.
A little bit of confusion on that game. The LHSAA threw some people a curveball as you know, they originally posted on their website that the score was reversed and that Epps had won, but Plainview did win that game. Plainview has kind of had some success against Epps in the past, and they were able to carry that over. A shame that a career for Alexis Holt at Epps has to come to an end. You know, she has been right there on the cusp every year the last 3 years now of winning our all-area team player of the year for small schools. She is an unbelievable talent. They also have a couple of others that will be coming back. They're certainly loaded with talent. But hated to see that run in for Penny Hill's team. As they finally, for the first time since the 70s, got to the state tournament last year, got over that hump, and we're looking to get back and try to win that elusive state championship, but weren't able to do it.
And then finally, number 10, Saline, falls to number 2, Pleasant Hill. So, Cody, looks like we had two area teams, girls teams, in the number 1 seed, and both of them still alive in the semifinals, Arcadia and Summerfield.
Yeah, both teams very deserving, and like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how things kind of play out as they go now to the big stage of Burton Coliseum. And unless they've been there before, it's those kind of stages for some of these smaller schools can be very intimidating playing in a 7,000 seat arena like they have there in Lake Charles.
Absolutely, we're going to move over to the boys' side of the bracket. And I'm going to run through some scores. We'll stop when we get to the game you were covering, and stop me anytime you have something you need to interject. So, first of all, in 5A, Ouachita beats number 11 Ouachita beats number 22 Slidell 60-50. Number 5 Ruston defeats number 28 Parkway 66-38. And number 23, West Monroe, falls at St. Augustine, 68-49.
Yeah, just a couple of interesting notes there. First of all, West Monroe, one of their better seasons in a long time. Chris Callahill has done a great job now in his third year. This is his third season as head coach there. That was a game that was a six-point game at halftime, very, very close game. I think it was 26-20 at the half. And then West Monroe was not able to keep up that same defensive intensity and effort there in the second half, and St. Aug was able to kind of pull away from it, but a good year for them. And then Ruston, another team that, you know, they come out of that same district with Ouachita and with the number 1 seed in 5A, Negative Central, kind of a team that, you know, you got to the end of the playoffs and you're like, golly, it's amazing that this is a 5 seed. And for a while they weren't playing that way, but now I think they have finally, they've gotten their groove back. They've learned how to play with injuries. A couple of their top guys are playing with some injuries that they have. I believe their point guard has a torn ACL that he's playing through, but they're learning to play with that and learning the style they have to play to be successful, and really, really interested to see how it turns out and how it plays out with the Bearcats right now.
Absolutely. Well, moving on to 4A, number 19 Bastrop fell to number 14 Franklinton 76-60. Number 4 Bossier beats number 29 Neville 64-45, and then number 2 Washington Marion defeats number 31 Minden 100-55.
It was not the best year in our area for 4A basketball, as a lot of these teams got put behind the eight ball with their seeds, and you know, had to go on the road. You're playing powerhouse programs on the road, and a lot of times that's the very, very difficult situation. But, you know, in a lot of cases, they had some good years. Neville, Minden, they did some good things that they should be proud of, and Bastrop as well.
All right. Moving on to 3A. We had number 9, Port Allen, defeating number 24, Richwood, 63-60. We had number 16, Madison, defeating number 17, Union, 67-65. We had number 4, Wasserman, defeating number 29, Loyola College Prep, 80-66. And then the game you were at, Carroll, defeating Donaldsonville, 60-31.
Yeah, Carroll, dominating performance last night. They limited Donaldsonville to just 3 field goals in the entire first half. It was 27-11 at the half. All but 6 of the points in the first half for Donaldsonville came at the free throw line, and just a really dominating performance by Carroll offensively and defensively. They kind of felt like their defense let them down in the fourth quarter in that district championship game last week against Wasserman, and really picked it up on both ends of the floor. They were getting their offense off of their defense in transition, and a really, really good start to the postseason for them. They'll host number 11 Albany on Tuesday in the second round, and another thing about the 3A bracket, is, you know, Richwood. Richwood has had now back-to-back years of early exits. That's a program that has four state championships under their belt. They've also three other trips to the top 28. Coach Jerry Martin has done an unbelievable job over there, and he's running into just a rough spot of having really, really young teams the last couple of years. But look for those guys to bounce back, and then next year, and then also Wasserman this year. C.J. Jones, best player I think on the boys' side in our area, is look for Wasserman to really make a run here, and wouldn't be surprised at all if they end up in the state championship.
Okay, moving on to 2A. I did not see a score for number 6 Ravel and number 27 West St. Mary. Did they play?
Yeah, I have not heard that they didn't, but I was looking for that as well. It surprised me. I haven't heard from anybody at Ravel yet, but I've been checking, trying to check on that. For some reason, there was no score reported, so I'm not sure what is the deal there. But yeah, as far as I know, they did play.
Okay. Well, number 12 Faraday defeats number 21 Rummels, 63-49. In 1A, number 16 Hainesville defeated number 17 White Castle, 56-53. Number 22 Delhi Charter falls to number 11 Block, 62-59. I don't even have what they were ranked, but Delhi defeated Plain Dealing, 62-52. Number 4 Arcadia defeated St. Fred's, two area teams there. Arcadia winning 70-34. Number 2 Northwood defeating number 31 Oak Grove, 73-47. And also in 1A, number 6 seed Grambling beating East Beauregard, 65-51.
Yeah, we've got three of the top 10 seeds. Delhi is the number 10 seed, I believe, in the bracket for 1A. We've got three of the top 10 seeds from this area in 1A, and all of them very, very strong. All of them, I think, have a chance to get to the state tournament.
All right, number 1 Simsboro in Class B had a bye. Number 6 Weston defeated number 27 Forest, 100-46. Two area teams going at it there. Number 21 Castor, home of one Lee Arthur Smith, former Major League closer. They fell to Glenmora, 69-41. Number 18, Shudrant, falling to Avoyelles Charter, 58-50. Quitman, the number 22 seed, lost to Pitkin, 70-42. And in Class C, number 3, Summerfield, had a bye. We'll go on number 22, Epps. In Class C, they fell to number 11 seed Grand Isle, 72-33. And in Family Community Christian School over in Winsboro, the number 8 seed, they defeated number 25 Hackberry, 62-46. Also, number 9 Gibson Coleman defeated number 24 Georgetown, 94-33. So a lot of small schools from our area in it as well.
And I believe, I'm not sure what seed they are, I think they're a 5 seed in Class C, but New Living Word also won their first round game. And I think they scored most points of anybody in the first round. I think, I'm not sure what the opponent had, but 124 points last night for New Living Word.
Yeah, I did miss them. Sorry about that.
In a big route. So, yeah, a lot of smaller schools still around. And, you know, before we get too far, I need to make a correction on something we talked about in the girls' bracket. I was talking about the state tournament in Lake Charles where it has been the last couple of years, but the girls are actually in Hammond this year. So nobody out there make your reservations, hotel reservations in Lake Charles. You'll have a ways to drive. The girls' tournament has moved back to Southeastern. Now it's going to be at Hammond.
All right, at the University Center where I spent many a night working basketball games when I worked at Southeastern Louisiana University. Cody, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about high school baseball briefly, but we'll take a break right now. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, Calhoun, Ruston, and Texarkana. We'll be back after these messages on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the show, Talking Sports here with Byron Avery, brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, Calhoun, Ruston, and Texarkana. This hour brought to you by Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden. Jeannie Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. Call us on the DBAT hotline, 888-993-7762. Text us on the Pulpwood Producers text line, same number, 888-993-7762. Check out our Facebook page sponsored by DBAT, facebook.com/TalkinSports977FM. Still on the line with us, Cody Futrell. Cody, thanks for hanging on with us. We're going to talk a little high school baseball. We're late getting on. West Monroe baseball was on the air. They fell at Barb 5-3, but have started the 2016 campaign 2-1.
Yeah, a strong start for them. That's one of the premier tournaments they're in down there with some of the state powerhouses. You got Sam Houston, Barb, and Sulphur. Sulphur and Barb are both in the 5A semifinals last year. So really, really strong tournament that they're in. They were able to win the first couple of games, beat Como on Friday night, and then fell today to Barb, who's, is the number one team right now in 5A. So, putting those kids right in the middle of the fire early and see how they respond as they get ready. Next week we have the huge Trey Altick tournament. It'll be all over the parish. A lot of great teams from all over the state coming into that at ballparks all over the area, and West Monroe will be one of those hosts. So, good to put them in the fire before that, and hopefully they can have a good showing next week here at home.
Yeah, they'll also play Sam Houston later today. That game at 2 o'clock will be on the Peach, 99.3 FM. So West Washita's gotten off to a great start, too.
Yeah, both them and Ruston both are in the WGNO Classic, another one of the premier tournaments at the beginning of the year. That's hosted by some more 5A powerhouses, Jesuit and Brother Martin. They got to play at the AAA minor league ballpark there in New Orleans, Zephyr Field, on the first night. Got a couple of wins. They're going to play a team out of Georgia, North Gwinnett, Georgia. Swanee High School from North Gwinnett, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, a really strong program. They'll play them later today. But they've gotten off to a really good start. Ruston, I believe they're 1-1 on the year. They had a really, really a good team last couple of years. They fell in the quarterfinals to Catholic of Baton Rouge. They lost a lot of kids off that team, and they are slow in numbers this year. Had a story last week. Was able to catch up with Toby White, their head coach, and only 20 players on that team right now, junior varsity through varsity, and one of their starters is a freshman in the starting nine. So a very young team that's, just like West Monroe, really been put through the fire early, and I'm sure they'll be better for it.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of other teams. I know that Beekman Charter School's playing at Delhi today, so a lot of other area teams. Tell me what you can about some of our other area teams.
Well, I'll try to go start at the bottom and kind of go through a couple of things here. First of all, Class C, of course, Forest and Claiborne Christian have been perennial powers last few years. Claiborne Christian is constantly in the state tournament every year in Class C. Still looking for that elusive state title that they haven't won in a few years. They have gotten to the championship game, I believe, and lost last 3 years in a row. But some exciting things are happening for that program as they have completely redone their stadium this year. A brand new fence and seating area, concession stands. Really, really have gotten some funds together to pump up the image of that program and their facilities. So that's an exciting time for them. In Class B, Shuterin is always a contender. Look for those guys to contend. In 1A, the defending 1A state champs, OCS, has everybody back. Only time I can ever remember in this area, one team fielding seven Division I signees on one team. They're moving up to 2A this year. A bit more of a challenge possibly there, but look for them to certainly be the favorites to win 2A this year. They're going to be in a really good district with Sterlington and Mangum, so that's going to be a really, really fun district to watch baseball wise this year. And also in 4A, a really, I think probably they when the redistricting happened a couple years ago this past year, we're probably looking at the most powerful 4A district in the whole state, or maybe one of the best in any classification. And that 2-4A this year, as Neville and West Washita join up in a district with Grant and Tioga from the Alexandria area, to those four teams are could be district champions in almost any district, and they're going to have to fight it out this year for supremacy in that 2-4A. That's going to be fun to watch. And then Ouachita is an up-and-coming team in 2-5A. Interested to see how former ULM catcher Josh Morrison continues to develop that program as they try to compete with West Monroe in that district for the district title. And Rustin, Rustin's going to grow up a lot from this experience in New Orleans this weekend. And, they have some strong pitching. How can they kind of develop their defense and their hitting to go along with that? We'll see how that goes throughout the year.
Okay, great. Cody, I can never thank you enough. You're always prepared and always know what's going on in the area with our prep sports, which is a big deal to us. We're going to expand this a little bit more as we move on. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again next week. But before we go, just remind everyone how they can keep up with you.
Always visit thenewstar.com, and anytime I'm out at a ballpark or I'm throughout the week, I'm always throwing out tidbits on my Twitter account. You can follow me there at CFutrailTNS, and we'll have everything for your reading pleasure throughout the boys' basketball playoffs, and of course, for our coverage area, we've wrapped up the girls' season as we didn't. Arcadia is a little bit, I think, Shreveport Times covers them. So, good luck to those guys. But, for local girls basketball, we kind of wrapped it up. But boys still got a lot of teams in it, and now we're cranking it up with baseball. We'll have a full a preview this week of the Trey Altic tournament and be covering that like crazy. So that's going to be a fun time. So it's time to get outside and enjoy a little baseball and softball.
Absolutely. Cody, again, thank you so much, and we will talk with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
All right. We're going to take another break. This is Byron Avery with Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7. This segment was brought to you by Katie's in Monroe. Go see Katie for a hot breakfast or a hot lunch. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports. It's just you and me. I'm B. Byron Avery here with you on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Brought to you by Anytime Fitness, Monroe, West Monroe, Calhoun, Ruston, and Texarkana. Visit our DBAT Facebook page, facebook.com/TalkinSports977FM. Call us on the DBAT hotline, 888-993-7762, or reach out on the Pulpwood Producers text line, also 888-993-7762. Special guest on the line today, Dr. Nick Bruno, president of the University of Louisiana Monroe, ULM. Dr. Bruno, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Byron, thanks for having me.
I know you got a lot going on, so we'll get to it running a little bit behind. We had West Monroe baseball on the air. They've had off to a great start. But full disclosure, I think we probably need to have a mini reunion here pretty soon. Back in 94 to 96, I was working in the athletic department down at Southeastern Louisiana University. You were in the administration. Terry Waldrop, who hosts the show Monday through Fridays here at 9 a.m., was an assistant basketball coach. And I understand that former SLU golf coach Tim Baldwin is now the golf coach at ULM.
That's correct. So, Southeastern is making itself its presence known here in the Monroe area. We're bringing some of our experiences to Monroe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's get to it. Want to talk to you a little bit first just about the climate now. We've heard about tops going away. People are saying, well, it's just a scare tactic right now. It's going to come back. I know you've been in Baton Rouge. Tell us what's going on.
Well, Byron, of course, this is a very unsettling time in the state. We've had financial problems now for 8 years with the economic climate, and the state has been depressed. And as you know, the universities across the state have been cut numerous times. I think it's 11 or 12 times in the last 8 years. And the legislature and the governor are at the point that they know they have to do something to develop a permanent fix for funding not only higher education but health care and state services. There's, the decline of oil prices, decline of corporate taxes and personal income taxes. The state's just not generating the revenues it has in the past, and in turn, we have to develop a way to get more revenues to fund these services, and unfortunately, there's two ways to do it. You know, you cut costs or you raise revenues through the form of taxes, and neither one are popular, but, you know, I'm very optimistic the legislature will make the hard decisions, and the governors behind the universities and health care, and we're just looking for a positive result. But along the way, you know, anytime you have taxes, it's an unpopular thing, but we have to decide, are these services critical to the state? And I'm a little partial, but I believe they are very much important to the state as we move forward.
Absolutely. You know, and this is something that's been building for years, a lot more than 8 years, but, you know, we spend here and spend there, and I have a good friend in the state legislature, and I asked him one time, I said, why is it that health care and education are the first to get cut? And he said, actually, the answer is very simple. Anytime you run a business and you need to cut costs, you go with manpower, and that's your first deal. And according to what he told me, probably more than 80% of the budget is healthcare and education. So that's where the cuts, because if you cut anything else, it wouldn't really have an impact.
Yeah, and the other factor is that healthcare and education, higher ed, are the only two areas that are not protected by the Constitution. And there was, at the time the Constitution was drafted, from what I was told, no one thought that education or healthcare would ever be cut, because the state's funding and finances. So it's, you know, it goes to show you nothing is certain, and you just simply have to prepare when you do planning for all eventualities. And there has been cuts to these areas back in the 80s. I remember those as a young administrator. And it's just one of those things that we've had a perfect storm of declining revenues and increasing costs, and it is something that none of us want to see, so we just have to find out the solutions and then prepare and make sure it doesn't happen to us again.
Absolutely. Another thing, you know, another factor with state revenues, gas prices. You know, people are loving these gas prices, but I try to tell people all the time, you know, I love them too, but that means less tax collected.
Yeah, you know, I have mixed emotions when I fill up my truck. You know, I want to smile that the price is so low, but then I want to cry because I know that it's going to impact the university. So it really is a tale of two stories, and we just have to gear through it and hope things come back, and I'm confident they will.
Absolutely. Now, let's tie this into sports a little bit. I know that I know Terry Waldrop and I talked on his show one time about the recruiting situation at ULM with Coach Berry, and I'm not going to go back into that, but tying it into that, a lot of these guys, again, not just at ULM, but if someone is not a qualifier when they first go to school, they have to be admitted. Can we assume, is it safe to assume that if someone is not a qualifier, are they not qualified for TOPS? You know, of course, in the past.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally,
so
if they're not a qualifier by the NCAA, they're not a qualifier for TOPS.
So there's a whole other issue there. Again, going back to what I had said on the show with Terry that day, it's not ULM's issue, it's not Tech's issue, it's not Grambling's issue to get high school students eligible to participate in college athletics. I want to know what's going on, why, you know, again, if these kids are planning to go to college and play ball, they have aspirations of playing college ball, they have aspirations of playing professional ball, why aren't they getting into it? Why aren't they qualifying? And why aren't the schools making sure they're qualified? Someone said to me, well, you know, if they don't blow up till their senior year, well, you know, it's kind of late to get. Well, if they're not going to blow up till their senior year, their head ought to be in the books anyway.
Right. And that's a good point. You know, the reality is that there has to be a closer connection. It's no different than academics is first. The student has to be prepared, whether they're, as you say, going into athletics or just moving on to a college program. Students should know, particularly those that are talented and have aspirations of playing at the next level out of K-12. They have to also understand the responsibility of preparing themselves academically. And I think that, you know, the high schools, particularly across the state and, you know, all states, have a responsibility to help those students understand the academic requirements they're going to have as they move forward.
All right. Well, Dr. Bruno, I know we didn't have a lot of time today. We didn't have as much time as we hoped. I want to have you on here again. We need to discuss this a little further, but I wanted to get your take on the climate right now and TOPS. And in 1 minute, what can you tell me about what you think the future of TOPS is?
I think TOPS is a critical program, and it's become a program that is an expectation for students who work to earn it. TOPS funds the student's education. The universities do not get TOPS unless a student who's qualified for TOPS chooses that university. So it's a tuition program paid by the state in lieu of the parents paying it. So I think it's important. I think the state is going to have to evaluate it from the perspective of do they continue to fund it as fully as they have in the past, or do they begin to make changes to it that reduces the cost of the state by having higher standards, or in another case, limiting the amount of money that TOPS will pay as opposed to the full amount that they pay now. So it gets down to how much can they afford and how much will they budget for it, and then we'll just have to see. I think TOPS to this point has been pretty much, you know, unlimited. Students qualify, they get it. The state has tried to budget for it. The positive thing is that more students are eligible for it. So it's become a situation where the more students that are eligible, the more cost it has. So is the state going to be prepared to fund it at that level, or are they going to have to start making some changes to keep it within the budget that they are allocating for it?
Dr. Bruno, great to visit with you. We'll do this again, but thanks so much for being available today.
Thank you, Byron. Appreciate your time.
All right.
Right.
Dr. Bruno, Dr. Nick Bruno, president of the University of Louisiana Monroe. Tabor, I'm going to tell you, I'm always a proponent of raising standards. Make somebody earn it. If you want it, earn it. That it will cut some people out. But again, go earn it. We've got to get to where we have people earning things and not being handed things. Guys, we're going to have to cut it short today. Lady Texture Basketball coming up. They'll be on the air at 1:30. This has been Talking Sports with Byron Avery, brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, Calhoun, Ruston, and Texarkana. Sponsored in part by Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance of Ruston and Minden, DBAT in Monroe, Katie's in Monroe. Our hotline sponsor, DBAT, and our text line sponsor, Pulpwood Producers. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at redpeachsports.com.